This is how we do it.
Hi, my name's Chloe. I came to Metro back in February this year, so I've been here about 6 months now. And I think really quickly for me, I wanted to have a chat with Philip about how I could give to Metro, how I could give my money for what it's trying to do and the things that it's getting on with. For me, it was really important to give straight away because I knew that I wanted Metro for me to be home. And for me, home is a place that I contribute to. Home is somewhere where I invest. And part of that looks like giving some of my money to that place as well. I'm really comfortable and confident giving my money to church because I really think that it does amazing things with that money. I'm part of the Metro team and I see just how much it costs each week to run everything that Metro does. It's like hundreds per person a year. And that's before you get all the equipment and things like that that are so key to making it work well and making it somewhere that people want to be. So for me, it was no question about it. I definitely was super happy to give to Metro. I think what's great about church as well is it doesn't keep all the money for itself. It actually gives that money where it's needed most, maybe into communities in Bristol, maybe further afield for like disaster relief and stuff like that. So you know that it's being handled and stewarded really, really well. I started my first real paid job when I moved to Bristol, and I instantly knew that actually generosity doesn't come from having a lot of money, that you learn generosity regardless of how much money you've got. So even though I wasn't earning a lot, I knew that one of the first things I wanted to come out of my paycheck each month was giving to church, giving to Metro Church. So before anything else comes out, I set up a standing order that says the first thing that comes out of my bank account each month is my little bit of money that goes to Metro. I think, again, being part of team, you see that actually it doesn't have quite as much money as you think it does sometimes, and that things do really cost to run. For me, I want to give my money to church. I really want to invest in something that's really important to me, and I want to be someone who invests in things that are important to God, and church is one of God's great ideas, and I want to be part of that. I want to be supporting that. There's a verse in the Bible that says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be too. And I really want to encourage my heart to be in church. I would really say that if anyone calls Metro home or calls any church home, then part of something being home is that you're really investing into it, that you've taken ownership of it. And I'd say absolutely encourage you to financially give to that place that you call home.
There's probably someone here and you brought someone along for the very first time and you're thinking, oh no, what have I done? I brought them when they're talking about giving, and it's so ironic because they never talk about giving. They never even have offerings apart from just a couple of times once a month, and you're sitting there thinking, why did I bring my friend when they talk about giving? And it may be that you're here and you're not into church, maybe you're not into the whole God thing. You're still on the outside looking in, not too sure about it, and you're thinking, yeah, this is exactly what I was anticipating. They're going to talk about money, because that's what churches are all interested in. They just want to get your money. It's a scam. They're preying on people who are vulnerable, giving them a little prop, and then getting the money out of them so that they can do the thing that they want. They can't get money any other way. They've got to get it out of vulnerable people. Listen, I make no apology for talking about giving and talking about money tonight. And it's true, we hardly ever talk about money because we think we want to be sensible around that. And we actually don't like to play into the stereotype that churches just want your money, that they put a big sign outside of their building with a thermostat saying, hey, help us build the roof. But I actually think that money is an important thing to talk about. And I think that giving is an important thing to think about. And I think when we talk about Jesus giving commands to his disciples, to his followers, he talks about that, and therefore it's something that we should wrestle with, because it's actually, this is my thing. I think that whether or not you've got faith, listening to what Jesus has to say about money is a brilliant, brilliant way forward. I think there's real wisdom, I think there's real value. And I actually challenge anybody to look at the way that Jesus talks about money and the way that Jesus talks about giving. Give that a go and not discover that actually there's something radical and revolutionary. We talk about giving, we talk about money because money is so much more than money. Everyone say, money is so much more than money. So when we talk about money, it's almost never just about money, because money is so tied up with the way that we feel about ourselves. And when we talk about money, it's not just about economics. You know, for most of us, it's not primarily the economics which is the issue. It's actually the emotion behind money. Even terms that we use when we talk about money, you know, we talk about value. You know, what is the value of your house? What is the value of your car? What is the value of your handbag? What is the value of your iPad, your iPod, your iWatch, your iLife? What is that value? And value, even the name, the term value, is the things that we value. The things that you value determine the way that you behave. It determines the kind of lifestyle that you have. It determines the kind of person that you end up being. And money is intrinsically bound up with that. You know, we talk about work. We'll talk about literally a person's net worth. You know, and we will associate worth with the pay packet that we pull in every month. We will associate worth with the set of symbols that we have, the car that we drive, the designer kitchen that we have and cook with. Maybe not so much for you when you're students, but you're still, you know, that whole thing with money. It is so much about worth, and it can hit your self-worth. So when we talk about money, we're talking about something which absolutely impacts on every one of us. And so the Bible is big on money. In fact, this is interesting, listen. One in every seven verses in the New Testament is about money or giving. Isn't that just an amazing fact? There's actually more that the Bible says about money and giving than it says about prayer or that it says about faith. Because this is where we are as human beings. Believe it or not, the Bible is super practical. Believe it or not, when Jesus talks to people, he just doesn't want you to have a bunch of teaching about how to be pious and how to sing hymns. He wants you to have teaching and help on how to do life. The things that matter to you matter to God. The things that you struggle with, Jesus can actually address that. And so when we talk about money, when we talk about giving, we're actually saying, listen, there's something worth digging into. There's something worth looking at here. There's something compelling for us. Because emotion is so tied up with money. And value is so tied up with money. And worth is so tied up with money. There's such a lot of emotion that goes around money. But listen, can you say to me, just throw it out, just shout it out to me, what you think. What do you think is the number one emotion that goes with the issue of money and finance? What would you say is the number one thing that people struggle with? The number one thing that we feel when we think about money?
Worry.
Very good. What?
Worry.
Someone said something else. It sounded like sausages. Worry. I heard worry. Who said worry? Put your hand up. Feel smoke. Okay. Worry. Worry. We worry about money. Let me ask you a question. Put your hand up. Do you ever worry about money? Put your hand up if that's you. Okay? Now, I told you that this was a relevant thing. You know, worries about money are huge for all of us, bar none. It's something that you may get a grip on, but it's definitely something that everybody struggles with at some point in their life. And for many people, it's an ongoing thing. Did you know that 70% of couples that split up cite money problems and worry about money as the number one reason why they broke up? It wasn't because they had a disagreement about their S Club 7 collection. It wasn't to do with sex, or it wasn't to do with, you know, all these other things that can hit families and couples and relationships. Money! Worried about money, that's the thing that you get tripped up with. It can so take over your life. We have to talk about it, we have to think about it, we have to engage with it. But here's another question. I want you to put your hand up, answer this question. Put your hand up. Do you consider yourself greedy? Let's see your hands. That's really interesting. Quite a few hands are going up. Well done. And there's most of us, I guess, keeping our hands down, saying, I'm not going to admit to that. Or maybe you think, no, I'm not greedy. I wouldn't consider myself as greedy. We have a particular idea about what greed looks like. We think about Ebenezer Scrooge. We think about a guy hoarding his money. We think about the fat one percenter. We think about the guy that's just put his foot down on the necks of the poor, the one that is the guy that's taking advantage, that's oppressing, that's using and abusing. You know, we think about these people that are the masters of the universe, that are living immoral lives, that are just greedy, they have more than they can ever possibly deal with. They're the greedy ones, I'm just me. In fact, you may be here, you're a student, you've got your student loan. The last thing you feel is greedy, you just feel needy. But the fact of the matter is that greed and worry are the two things that the Bible talks about when it talks about money. And they're massive things, because greed, it affects you as a person. And worry, it can erode away your self-confidence. It can strip you of your dignity. It can keep you awake at night. It can stress you out, and it can ruin your relationships. But greed will make you a small person. And the worst thing about greed is, listen to this. You didn't know this before you came in, but lean in. This is already good stuff, worth the price of admission alone. Listen to me. There's more than one kind of greed. Ebenezer Scrooge greed is one kind of greed. The fat one percenters is one kind of greed. The naughty banker is one kind of greed. The Bible says there's actually many kinds of greed. And the worst kind of greed is what? It's the greed that you don't realize is greed. Because greed will always strip your soul like paint thinner. It will take away from you some of your basic humanity, because greed will always make a person smaller. And when Jesus was taught about money, he would often talk about greed. And people that thought they had no issue with greed, no problem with greed, would find out that Jesus had a very different set of definitions when it came to greed. One occasion when Jesus was walking and he was talking and he was teaching, a guy came up to him and said, look, I've got this financial problem, sort it out for me. And Jesus tells a story. And Jesus tells a story that helps us identify what greed looks like. And I'm going to tell you what this story is. And I want you to listen to this. And I want you to say at the end of it, did this change your view about your own issue with greed? Because there's a kind of greed that most of the time we don't even class as greed, but God classes it as greed. And so Jesus, in this parable, he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. See, I told you, I'm not making this up. He literally says there's different types of big greed, different kinds of greed. And then he says this stuff which we kind of know, but it's worth repeating. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And then he told them this parable, which is basically a made-up story to tell you a true fact. He said, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I shall do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. End of story. So this is, if you're like me, you're looking at that story, you're listening to that story, maybe you've heard that story before, and you're thinking, where is the greed part? You know, Jesus had told a story about a guy who was a miser, and people came and asked him for money. He said, no, you will not have my money, and cast them out onto the street. Then you'll say, well, that's a greedy man. But if a guy is a farmer, sure, he's wealthy. And as is often the case with wealthy people get more wealthy. The rich get richer, the poor get children. But this guy, he gets more money, he gets more crops, more abundance. And then he says, well, what am I going to do? I can't store, I've got a bumper harvest. I need a bigger barn. So I'm going to build a bigger barn. And then I'm going to enjoy the fact that I've done well. Now please explain to me, Jesus, why is that greedy? To me, that sounds rational, you know? That sounds reasonable. That sounds like good business sense. Doesn't sound like he's being super hoardy. Doesn't sound like he's taken advantage of anyone. Doesn't sound like he's refused to give to anybody. He sounds exactly like you and I sound. So you get your pay packet, you take the money, and you think, great, I've got this money, I can use it as I wish. And when you get an increase, you think, wow, awesome, I got more money, I'll put it in another bank account, maybe in an ISA, get more interest, being wise with my money, store it up, so I don't have to worry about money in the future. I'm being wise, I'm being financially good. It's not like he gets the extra stuff and he spends it all and he buys himself a crazy, you know, Rolls Royce. No, he's putting it aside for a rainy day. And this is what God says, and this is so important because it shows you what God thinks about our normal. He says, but God said to him, you fooled. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared yourself? In other words, this is what greed looks like in Jesus' mind. Greed looks like the person that takes what they have been given. The person takes the money that they have, the person takes the money that they have earned, and thinks it's all for them. This guy says, it's my crops, they're my barns, it's my grain, it's my profit, it's my good fortune, and it's for me. And God says, that's greedy. It's greedy to simply assume that everything that comes into your pocket is for you to consume. We call that the consumption assumption. You assume that everything that comes into your pocket is for you to consume. I earned this money. It's for me to choose how I use it. I got the student loan because I got the results and I got the grades and I'm in Bristol, baby. And I can use that money. And if I want to use it on some parties or on a dress or whatever, it's my money. I use it as I wish. You get some money for your birthday. It's my money. I've been given it. I'll do with it what I like. And the Bible says, that kind of assumption that everything that comes to you is to be used for you, that's not a healthy way to live, and that's not a good way to think about life. That's a foolish way to think about life. That's a greedy way to think about life. And the thing about greed is that it makes you a smaller person, and it diminishes your ability to look at things clear-sightedly. And God says, you're a fool because you're looking at this grain and these barns and you're planning ahead, you're saying to yourself, eat, drink, and be merry. You've got grain and you've got my barns, you've got my crops, you've got my surplus, but you didn't think about my life. And life is more than an abundance of possessions. Life is more than the money in your pocket. Your value is not determined by your paycheck. Your worth is not determined by the house that you live in, or the car that you drive, or the clothes that you wear. And greed has this insidious way of getting into our lives and making us think it's all about me. And we forget about what life is really all about. Karl Marx said, all property is theft. Actually, it was a Frenchman, it was Proudhon, but Karl Marx kind of gets attributed. All property is theft. Jesus says, actually, all property is trust. You were trusted with those crops. You were trusted with that abundance. You are trusted with the money that you get. You say, I earned it. God says, I gave you the job. You say, I deserve it. God says, I gave you the ability to make that money. I gave you the ability to get those grades. I gave you the opportunity to work in that place. The guy that literally has his crops that come out of the ground and never at one point did he think, well, this is God's goodness to me. How can I use what God has trusted me with? No, he's greedy. And he thinks, this is my good fortune. This is my money. This is my resource. I will use it for me. God says, look, the way that you really should think about money is that everything that you have is given to you as trust. Do you think that you're better than the guy scrabbling in the dirt in the third world for a dollar a day? Do you think you're more intelligent than them? Do you think you're more deserving than them? Do you think that you are just, I don't know, better than them? No. The only difference between you and them is that God has trusted you with material possessions, with material wealth, with money. Because he wants you to do good with that money, because he wants you to make a difference with that money, because he wants you to change the world with that money. And when you just say, oh, I've got money, it's all for me, I'll use it all for me, God says, you forgot what life is all about. You forgot that you're supposed to use money not just for temporal pleasure, for me right now. You're supposed to use money for something that will make a difference in eternity. And then Jesus goes on and he says, this is how it will be. This is not a story now. This is, I'm telling you how it's going to be. This is how it is. But whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Remember that picture? Are you greedy? It's a type of greed. It's a type of greed to use all your money for yourself. It's a type of greed to assume that it's all there for you to consume. It's a type of greed to not bring God into the equation, to not be rich towards God, to spend everything you have. I tell you what, in the UK, we're worse than that. We're worse. We don't spend 100% of what we have on ourselves. We spend 110%.
The average person in the UK spends 10% more than they earn. We've got a debt problem. This is crazy. Instead of just saying, okay, I've got these resources and I've got this money, I'm going to use it wisely, I'm going to invest, I'm going to be rich towards God, I'm not going to assume it's all for me. We just think, it's all for me and I need some more as well because I've got a hole in my soul. And Jesus says, look, this is just absolutely not the way to live. He goes on, he says to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry, and I can't remember much more, do not worry about your life, what you eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Don't worry. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. In other words, Jesus says, you've got to get into a different frame of mind. If you're greedy, then you'll always worry. The guy that says, hey, I've got some extra, I'm never going to worry again. Eat, drink, and be merry, because that's the end of my worry troubles. God says, you're a fool. You're a double fool, because anybody with half a brain who's lived on this planet for more than half an hour can tell you that in any time, you're going to be worried about those bigger barns, and you're going to be worried about that bigger surplus of grain, because you're going to worry that it's not going to last as much as you thought it was going to last, or someone's going to steal it from you, or it's going to go bad, or your barn is going to burn down. You're going to worry about those things. But Jesus says, look, don't worry. Don't worry. Life is more than these things. And then the disciples said, well, what do we do? What's the solution? How do we get through this? And Jesus says this, and it's a brilliant verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He says this, do not be afraid, little flock. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about being the sheep that follow the shepherd and do what he says, hear his voice, love the poor, give to those in need. He says, don't be afraid, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. In other words, get a different perspective on this. God is your Father and he's given you everything. He owns all the resources around and he's been pleased to give it. So don't be afraid. And the disciples say, well, I wasn't afraid. Why are you telling me not to be afraid? And Jesus says, because of the thing I'm about to tell you right now. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father's been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And that is the verse that Chloe talked about unprompted when she was interviewed. It's all about investing in something that lasts for eternity, investing in God himself, being rich towards God. It's crazy, really, because we're like children. And God says, look, here's a little bit of resources. Here's a little bit of money. Now, you give it back to me, and I'll just give you anything you need. I can supply your needs. I take care of my own. You don't need to worry. You can be bold. You can be fearless. You can be free of money worries. You don't have to worry. You can be free from greed. I've got ways to do life that will help you to be a real person, not bound or defined by money, but to be you, to be you, to be you. I discovered this. I learned this when I was 11 years old. I was living in Nigeria at the time. And the thing is that my parents were planting a church in Nigeria. And to do that, they made some sacrifices. And part of the sacrifice was I had to go and come to England and be educated. They couldn't be with me. So I left my family when I was 11 years old. And I went to live with my grandparents for 2 years while they were planting this church. And then eventually they came over and it was all good. But on my 11th birthday, it was leading up to my 11th birthday, I'd already spent my first term in England on my own with my grandparents. And now I was back for the holidays, but I wanted them to give me my birthday present. And I'm thinking, they sent me away from Nigeria, where it was cool, to England, where it's cold, and I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to just rinse them. We didn't have very much money, but I am going to pull the emotional wheels because I deserve it. And there was one thing that I wanted more than anything else in the whole world. And ladies and gentlemen, do you know what that was? A Rolls Royce technical Lego model of the Rolls Royce 1906 Silver Ghost. Six-cylinder inline engine, developing 50 brake horse of power. A beautiful, classic creature. And I would see it in the model shop, and every day I would press my nose against the glass, and I would look at it, and I would say, one day, you will be mine. Oh, yes, you will be mine. Thing is, it costs £10. Now, you can sniff. This is 1978. I was 11 years old. £10 is like a lot. In fact, in today's money, it's at least £50. Big deal. So I go to my mum and dad, and I'm back in Nigeria. And I said, I want you to give me this thing. It costs £10. I know it's a lot of money, but you've banished me from your presence. And if you really love me, then you'll make it up to me. And so my parents somehow cobbled together £10 to give to me. And I was very happy. Silver Ghost, you will be mine. I said you will be mine. Technical Lego, love it. And so the day before, in fact, it was about 3 days before I was due to go back to Nigeria. My dad says, come to the Bible study. I'd love to have you there. I said, yeah, sure, Dad, whatever. And I was always a little kid in a bunch of just adults in church. And my dad was building this church, planting this church. And he did this thing, and he spoke all about giving. He spoke about generosity. And at the end of it, he did this thing. He said, I want you to respond because we need to build a church. And I want to give you the opportunity to be generous before God. You see where I got it from? My dad. He says, I'm going to give you the opportunity. And he says, I'm going to give you the opportunity to pledge your money. And he said, I'm going to start with the smallest amount, but I'm going to make it high so that it's still a challenge. He says, who will give £5? I'm like, you should have started at one, Dad. You could have had one. But five is too much. Because five would be 50% of everything that I have. Can't do five. Really, really sorry. Hand stays down. Some hands go up. I'm thinking, well, at least the old man's got something going. And then he says, okay, next one. Who'd like to give £10? I've got £10 in my pocket. Rolls Royce. Silver Ghost. 1906. Six-cylinder inline engine, 50 brake horsepower. And I get this funny feeling, and I'm asking myself, what kind of person do I want to be? I'm 11 years old, but I'm still thinking, what kind of person do I want to be? I want to be generous to God. Damn, I wish I'd given it five. That ship has sailed. Oh no, my hand goes up. I've literally given everything I have. And I'm thinking, I'll never have that car. And I give, and my dad's kind of like surprised, a little bit tearful. 2 days later, I have to go home. It's a Sunday. And before we flew to the airport, drove to the airport, it was Sunday morning church. And I put my money into £10 to build this new church. You know, the church at the moment was meeting in this kind of wooden shack. But suddenly people were becoming Christians all over Nigeria. And they said, we need to build churches. This was the very first one, build a church. And I knew that my money was going to go into building a proper church. And so Sunday, I'm back in this shack and go through the service. And then I've got to get back home. And a guy comes up to me and he says, ah, Philip. We are sad to leave you, to lose you. But God bless you as you go. Shakes my hand. And as he shakes my hand, I take my hand away. And I feel some crumply thing inside of it. And there's like £5. Another guy comes along. Ah, Philippe, God bless you. Shakes my hand. And there's £10. I go around the rest of the church shaking people's hands everywhere. I walk out of that place with £110 in my pocket. When I got back to England, I went to the model shop and I looked through the window and I kept walking. Because I thought, somehow it just seems like a little toy. And I never bought it because I didn't feel like I needed it anymore. Because I've got something better. I've discovered that God is good and He is my Father and He's been pleased to give me the kingdom. And I can afford to be generous. I don't have to be frightened. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be small and uptight. I can be generous. I can be the most generous person in the room. I can give 100% of my possessions away. And it's not the only time that I've done that. And see that God is well able. This is just nothing to Him. He was able to give me more than I could imagine possibly ever owning. And it was so wonderful. Moreover, I've helped build a church. I've made something. I've put my treasure into heaven. I've put my treasure into God's work, into God's business, where it can make an eternal impact. I've done something that's going to change many, many, many lives. I helped build a church. If I could just show it to you. In fact, I can. Here it is. We went back there last month. This is me with Zoe, my daughter. There's my dad in the white, my brother with the hat on. That's the church I built. 38 years later, it still stands. My dad, we walked down there, we went to see the ministers in the church. And my dad says, hey, these are my boys. They got money in this church. And they said, yeah, the church has been going from strength to strength. And they're caring for the poor. And there's a school that is there as well. And thousands of people have found faith in that church. More than that, that church has now sprouted other churches. My dad's church that started there in that building in Ibadan, Nigeria, has spawned 600 churches in 22 nations, and thousands and tens of thousands of people have been affected, and rural outreach has been established, and people who are blind have had cataract operations free because of the things that we started. And I invested in that as an 11-year-old, and I have been rich with God, and I think that deserves a round of applause. Couldn't believe it. I'm like, man, so much better than a Rolls Royce. And actually, funny story, but God gave me a real Rolls Royce on my 40th birthday. No, that's not true. But what I've discovered is giving releases you from greed. Giving is the antidote to worry because you trust God. And when you know that your dad has got all things, then it's not a big deal for you to trust Him. So how do we do giving? How do we do it around here? How do we actually do it here? Well, we do it the same way that the early church did it. We do it the same way that the Bible talks about doing it. So when Paul was giving instructions to the churches, he had a kind of pattern, a blueprint that they would use. He, in this one particular instance, in a letter that he sent to a church in Corinth in Greece, he said, this is how we do it. He says, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. So those are the churches in Turkey. This is what they do. This is what we all do. He says this. On the first day of every week, everyone say, on the first day. Each one of you should set aside a sum. Everyone say, set aside a sum. Of money in keeping with. Everyone say, in keeping with. In keeping with. Your income. Saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. That's why we, as Woodlands, we don't do collections. Because we like this kind of biblical model. Let me break it down. First of all, it says on the first day of every week. In other words, this first day means that it is it's prioritized. So it's prioritized giving. It's not on the last day, it's on the first day. So before you spend everything else, you put aside money for giving. So that's exactly what Chloe said. Again, she did really, really well, unprompted. But it's not like, well, I see what's left at the end of the month when I've been through all my other expenses. No, no, this is first. This is priority. First day of the week or first day of the month or however you do your finances. Before all the other stuff, you prioritize your giving. Wow, that's a radical way. Because normally I'm like, we give what's left over. You know, we give what we think we can afford. No, you don't do it that way. If you want to be a radical follower of Jesus, you give it up front. You give it prioritized. So it's prioritized. And then he says, set aside a sum of money. In other words, it's programmed. So what they would do, the early church, is that they would take the money at the first opportunity, first day of the week, which is when they would get their wages, and then they put it away, put it in some jar or some little, you know, under the mattress, under the bed. They would set it aside. So it was programmed. It's like an automatic thing. You didn't have to come to church and have an offering and think, oh no, I forgot to bring my money. Oops. No, it would be just an automatic programmed thing. And then finally, in answer to the question, how much do you give? He says, in keeping with your income. In other words, it's proportional. Everyone say proportional. Old Testament model was 10%. The early church, as a general rule, did way more. You give in proportion. So if you earn lots, you can give a great proportion. At the moment, our family, we give 20% of our income before everything else. And do you know what? I would love to give 40%. Do you know why? Because I'd have to be so much more rich to be able to give 40%, you know, and not send my kids out, you know, without any clothes. So because we have an aspiration, what do we have? Yeah, it's an aspiration. I have an aspiration to give as much as I possibly can. I would love to be able to give 90%. But, you know, you work your way up. For some of you, you might just be able to give 5% because, you know, you're on a very low income. It may be that actually you're struggling with debt. And one of the things that we've got is we've got a CAP money course that we're doing. Just two sessions on two Sundays, last Sunday of November, first Sunday of December, free. A course that will show you how to get out of debt, how to manage your credit card issues. And that is happening in Woodlands. And Tim, where's Tim? He's at the back on the sofa. He's waving in a green T-shirt. He will tell you how you can be part of that course. So if you're struggling with money, then there's no pressure here. There's no big guilt trip. There's no sort of massive emotional blackmail. This is just how to be free with money. And what we've got on your seat, we've got this gift aid form. And this is a way that we do gift aid in standing order. That's how we've done it for years. We just say, you fill it out. You give before everything else. You determine no one else tells you what to do. It's none of their business. This is between you and God. This is up to you. How free do you want to be? You know, take a chance. Like I said, more than one occasion, I've given everything I have. It's the funnest thing in the world. But what do you want to do? How, you know, don't be afraid. Your Father's pleased to give you the kingdom, but don't be like the rich fool, the poor little rich man. Possession and property is a trust. And God trusts you with it. And you give and you're rich towards God, and God can take care of the rest. And so we do this. Now, look, some of you would be thinking, hey, look, it's a hard sell. Don't like the hard sell. There's a thing on every seat, if you hadn't noticed. I'm not trying to do a hard sell. I'm just trying to be practical. Because I know that for most of us, if we don't do it now, we don't do something. Oh, I don't know my bank details. Just put a little bit. Just fill in your name. Give us your address, your email. We'll do the rest for you. Because sometimes if you don't do it now, it's like materialism and money has such a hold on us that it will grab its claws back into us and it will drag us back down into small-minded, pusillanimous, cardboard, cut-out, greedy, little living. Well, God wants you to be free. Hey, in the modern day, we now have a website where you can give. If you go to woodlandsmetro.church/give now, you can do it all on your phone. I tell you, this is the freest way that I know to live. So good. I recommend it to anybody. I recommend it, whether you're sure about faith or not, I recommend that you go for it because there's something incredibly freeing about, hey, I'm not chained to my bank account and I'm not shackled to my salary. I'm free to be me. My value is not derived from the net worth or my bank balance. I am someone who is a human being and I have intrinsic worth. And I'm going to put aside all that stuff and nonsense that money tries to put on me. I'm not going to fall into the greed trap. And I'm not going to succumb to worry. And the best way to do that is to be generous, to give. So here's our big idea. We overcome the power of greed and worry in our lives by being rich towards God, giving in a way that is prioritized, programmed, and proportional. That's it. It's a challenge. You don't have to do it. But let me recommend that you try it and see what God does for you. Because he says to you, don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Let's pray. Dear loving Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. I want to pray for those that are struggling with money problems or money worries, financial issues. And I want to pray, Lord God, that you protect us from the insidious power of greed, which has laid claim and laid waste to our whole culture. Let us be free. Let us be released. Let us be unafraid. Let us be generous. Let us be rich in the way that matters the most, rich towards you. Give us the power. Give us the strength in Jesus' name. Amen.